Stay tuned now for Dr. Steven Zelikoff and a program you will not want to miss. Bone Talk. That's Bone Talk with Dr. Steven Zelikoff on 1460 WVOX.
Hi, good day, everybody. My name is Dr. Steven Zelikoff, and welcome to another edition of Bone Talk. And happy holidays to all of our listeners. This is a wonderful and joyous time of the year, and we're just thrilled to be able to have an amazing guest on the show with us today, Dr. Valdette Nikci. Dr. Nikci is head of hand surgery at Montefiore New Rochelle, and specializes in hand and upper extremity injuries, which unfortunately, as we're getting into the snow and ice season, many of our listeners end up with falls and injuries to their hands, elbows, wrists, shoulders. And I thought that this would be a wonderful opportunity to talk a little bit to Dr. Nikci, find out his thoughts about hand surgery treatment, conservative non-surgical treatment, and also talk a little bit about his practice and what are the things that he's interested in doing and some of the things that make him an amazing hand specialist. So, Valdette, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us on Bone Talk.
Hi, Dr. Zelikoff. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a local guy. You're from Yonkers, from this area.
Yeah, I am a local guy. I grew up in Yonkers. I went through the school system there, and fortunately, through a lot of hard work and patience, I was able to get to where I am now, which is as the chief of hand surgery at Montefiore New Rochelle Hospital, and obviously a part of our practice at Specialty Orthopedics. So, yeah, it's been a great ride to be here. But yeah, I grew up in Yonkers, and afterward, after going through the school system here, I actually did my undergraduate studies somewhat locally down at NYU at New York University. There I was a pre-med student, so I kind of knew, you know, that I wanted to go into medicine pretty early on. And so while doing pre-med, I actually majored in chemistry. And, you know, even there for a while, I loved chemistry and I thought I might even become, you know, sort of a chemist in industry. But thankfully, I think I decided medicine was probably the better route. And ended up going to medical school after that.
Well, it's lucky for Specialty Orthopedics that you did choose that route. Otherwise, we would have lost a really good hand surgeon.
Thank you.
So where did you go to medical school?
So I went to the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine, which is in Philadelphia. That was really one of the more, one of the proud achievements. Yeah, it was a really, really good school. Had a great time there. At the time we were ranked number two in the country for medical school. So, you know, we were really proud of that. I thought it was a fantastic school. Obviously got a great education there. One of the things I love best about it, is it really allowed for a lot of leeway in what we wanted to do as medical students. And so, even there early on, I sort of knew that orthopedic surgery is kind of where I wanted to go. And so I was able to actually focus a lot of time, doing orthopedic surgery, you know, going through rotations there, meeting a lot of orthopedic surgeons, going to really see orthopedics in a lot of different places. And actually ended up taking a year during medical school, to study orthopedics with surgeons in Japan, which is a really, really fun experience. And I got to see a lot of what, you know, another well-developed country, how they do orthopedics. So it was a really great experience. And then when I came back, I obviously then went into orthopedics and did a residency.
Do you find that your experience in Japan sort of gave you a different perspective in terms of treating patients through other types of treatment modalities?
Yeah, absolutely. And not only just treatment modalities, I mean, they're very, very advanced in Japan. And, you know, so seeing even the stuff that we do here and how it's done and how it's applied in a different country was really eye-opening. And I think one of the biggest takeaways was really the medical system. You know, they're a single-payer system, and it has a lot of implications for the type of things that you can do and and how people have access to care. And, you know, you can discuss all day about risks and or pros and cons, rather, of their system versus ours. But for me at the time was really an eye-opening experience on you know, just a different way, really, that that things are practiced, that things are done. So it was a really great experience.
Well, that's amazing. And then you had a lot of experience with trauma surgery throughout your residency program. I'm familiar with that as well.
Yeah, so I did my residency at Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson, which is in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And, I mean, I had the privilege, really, of working with some truly, truly outstanding orthopedic surgeons there. You know, we sort of ran the gamut of orthopedics. We had pretty much everything, you know, you can ask for during our residency, with the exception of orthopedic oncology, which is far more specialized, and we were able to do that at Memorial Sloan Kettering. But at Robert Wood Johnson, it was a level one trauma center. So we saw a lot of really, really bad trauma that came in, you know, from all sorts of injuries. And then at the time, we also were involved with the Jersey Shore Medical Center, which had even there was a level two trauma center with a lot of experience with high energy collisions because the major highways were close by. So we got to see a real plethora of different types of orthopedic injuries. And I think a lot of us, or all of us really, became very, very confident in treating all manner of orthopedic injuries. And it's been very helpful, you know, because even here in New Rochelle, in Westchester, we still see a fair amount of trauma. And while we don't see quite the heavy stuff that they might at the medical center, you know, there's still a fair amount of orthopedic injuries that occur. And as you so rightly pointed out, Dr. Zelikoff, in the winter months, there are a lot of injuries people have. You know, simple falls. You know, it's easy to break your wrist, twist your ankle, have an injury all of a sudden. And so having that experience allows me to do more than, you know, just my specialty, which is obviously hand and upper extremity surgery. But I do a lot of lower extremity trauma, things like broken ankles, broken hips. And thankfully, I'm, you know, fortunate to be very well trained in doing those injuries and taking care of those patients.
Now, again, we're on the phone today with Dr. Valdette Nikci, head of hand surgery and upper extremity surgery at Montefiore in New Rochelle, and also part of specialty orthopedics. So I think one of the things that's most fascinating, and I think having training in large trauma centers, is that most time when people sort of look at a fracture, they look at the bone, and they look at an injury to that bone. I think the bigger perspective that I think people tend to get is the fact is the impact of that injury to the patient as a whole, both from a psychological standpoint, from a physical standpoint, and the impact of when you treat these fractures, it's really treating the patient as a whole unit, as well as their families as well, and the impact that happens to that from a social work standpoint and a physical therapy standpoint. And I think having an understanding of the ramifications of an injury to a patient from that standpoint, I think is very, very helpful. And it gives people it gives you a really good insight in terms of managing them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's sort of telling, you know, when you train at a place that has a lot of really high energy and very complex stuff, you sort of see the worst of the worst. And when you do that and you know, you're involved in the care of these patients, you see how they recover. Obviously you see the surgery and you know how to fix, you know, the fracture per se, the actual problem. But afterwards, you know, the surgery is just part one. Afterwards they have, there's generally recovery involved. For some fractures, it's fairly quick. For other fractures, it can take months and months. And so, having the experience of seeing patients from, you know, time when they have their injury to the time when they recover is really invaluable. And then when you see it with the most severe injuries, it really helps you understand how to treat all injuries. You know, not everything, thankfully, is as severe as the really bad stuff. But as you said, it really matters. Patients, they have to follow like a recovery process, and it involves everything from, you know, how you put your clothes on to how you step your foot in the door or how you get up and downstairs in your house. And a lot of that has to be taken into account. And I think we're really fortunate, especially at Montefiore New Rochelle, where we do a lot of our surgeries, that I think we have a good grasp on that. And I think we have a lot of collaboration with the local communities in what to do with patients, not only in the hospital, but afterwards. I'm happy to say that I think a lot of our patients and get truly outstanding care. And it's really always fun to see when they come into the office after they've, are sort of on their way to recovery, and you see them walking in when the first time you saw them, they couldn't walk at all. So it's a remarkable experience. And I think
it's very gratifying.
Very fortunate.
It is. And I think a lot of it also has to do with, and I think that you also, besides your technical skills, your compassion towards your patients and really making them comfortable when they do present with a significant injury, I think is something that makes a big difference in terms of how well that they do and their overall outcomes. So you finished up your orthopedic training, and then you wanted to go on to do hand. So tell us a little bit about your hand surgery training and what inspired you to sort of go down that path.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did my hand fellowship, which is a hand, upper extremity, and microvascular fellowship at Columbia University in New York. I got to work with some truly outstanding surgeons there as well. Really a sort of cutting-edge place that was doing a lot of different types of hand surgeries that a lot of times you don't see in many other places, which is very, very helpful for a fellowship. For me, what I really loved, I loved orthopedics in general. What I really loved about hand surgery is, it felt like I was doing something different all the time. There's so much that happens with the hand, the wrist, the forearm, the elbow, everything from the shoulder down, that it's very fulfilling when you see different things pretty much every day. I get patients coming in. A part of my job is diagnosis, and I really have to listen to the patient, find out what's going on, listen to what their problems are. It's easy to say, yes, I have a patient that has pain in their hand. It's a lot harder to understand what exactly do they have. And a lot of times I have patients who come into my office thinking they have a problem. I mean, every single day I get patients that come in and say, I have carpal tunnel syndrome. But really getting to what truly their problem is, and figuring out that either they, yes, do have carpal tunnel syndrome, but more often than not, it turns out they have something completely different going on. And what I loved about it is no matter what I see, I felt like I was seeing something different coming in. And that's what drew me to hand surgery. It's because even, with regard to the surgeries that I perform, they're incredibly variable. It can be fairly straightforward and common things like carpal tunnel syndrome or, trigger finger releases, which are among the more common conditions I see. But then you can get down to things like, really complex wrist reconstructions for a bad wrist injury that's chronic, or, a tendon transfer for a patient who's had a bad nerve injury their whole life and their hand doesn't function the way, it's supposed to. And so you really run the gamut of the kinds of procedures that you can do, which to me is really refreshing and rewarding and sort of keeps it fairly new all the time.
Yeah, that's amazing. That really is. And again, we're on the phone with Dr. Valdette Nikci, who's hand of hand surgery out of Montefiore, New Rochelle. Also has academic privileges at Westchester Medical Center as well as at White Plains Hospital, and is also head of hand surgery and of the upper extremity program out of specialty orthopedics in Harrison, New York. So in terms of the things that you're most interested in sort of focusing on from the upper extremity part, what are some of the surgical procedures that you find that are most gratifying for you at this point?
So thankfully, a lot of them. I think seeing a big variety of surgeries is both fun, rewarding, and refreshing. I never really take for granted some of what some might call the more simple surgeries. I don't like using the term simple for surgery because these are very complex things that we have to spend a long time, learning how to do and learning how to do well. But even when I see, let's say, for example, an elderly patient who comes into my office saying, I've had a lot of trouble for the past couple of months making a fist. And, you might think to yourself, oh, there's a minor problem with the hand and making a fist, maybe no big deal. But until you have one of these problems where it's just a simple act of holding something, making a fist can be very challenging, you don't really understand, how much it affects a patient. And so I'll get a patient who can't make a fist, and it turns out, for example, they have a trigger finger in one of their fingers. And I talk to them about the different ways that you can make things better. And ultimately, if it ends up being surgery, it is absolutely gratifying when they come into my office a couple of days after surgery and they're already moving their hand and they say, I don't have that problem anymore. I can make a full fist for the first time. I get patients with carpal tunnel syndrome who one of their biggest complaints is they can't sleep at night. And I do surgery on them. And a lot of people are always very apprehensive about doing surgery, but I talk to them about what exactly is going to happen. I give them their, you know, the expectations of what is going to happen during, before, during, after surgery. And a lot of people are surprised and they tell me, are you telling me I can use my hand right away after surgery? And I say, of course you can. You can use your hand. You can use your fingers. You have a bandage on. I tell them I'll take the bandage off after a couple of days. And I see them in a couple of days after surgery. And they tell me I slept through the night for the first time in a long time. And, you know, that's something it's easy to take for granted because we as surgeons, we know what the disease process is. We know what's going on and we know how to fix it. But until you're in that position and you're seeing, you know, what these patients are going through, it's very rewarding. It's very gratifying. And I think my patients especially are very appreciative of even the simple thing of sleeping through the night, you know, makes them feel a lot better. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I mean, I also think that, you know, one of the things which I always found fascinating is that, first of all, that your point is so accurate in terms of, you know, patient's perspective of, like, smaller procedures and things like that. Bottom line, there's no such thing as a small operation when it's on you. I mean, so I think that's something that, you know, you take to heart in terms of the way you approach patients and deal with them. But I think that one of the things that's pretty amazing is that, you know, you have somebody with your background and training that really has seen all the really super complex stuff, all the difficult things. You know, your skill set that you have in being able to see all this over the past history that you've had with patients and with hand surgery, I think gives you a level of comfort because, you know, you go to somebody who does this occasionally, for instance, and maybe a non-hand surgeon who may do a carpal tunnel procedure, whatever. I always ask myself, if you're in the operating room and you get in there and something looks different from what you anticipate it's going to find, you need somebody who's got that level of sophistication who can go ahead and change gears without a hitch and then go ahead and adapt and be able to take care of whatever the problem is. And I think that with your training and your experience, I think that that's the thing that you bring to your patients in the sense that, you know, most things go really smoothly, but I think it's kind of like flying a plane. The things that define, like, that pilot is the person that really can do something in a special situation. And I think that you do bring that level of expertise to your patients. Now, in dealing with patients, particularly as we talked briefly at the beginning of our show, in terms of fractures, because so many people are going to fall, unfortunately, and they're going to break a wrist. Tell us a little bit just, you know, what people can expect in terms of do they need surgery for this? Is this something that you can be treated in a cast? What are the benefits of surgical intervention versus casting them? And just if you can just briefly just tell us a little about fracture care of the wrist and elbow.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think your example of the pilot's probably a really, really good one because you're absolutely right. You know, you want someone who's taking care of you, who understands not just what's going on, but the potential difficulties of what's going on. And when it comes to hand surgery, I mean, that's what I look for. You know, that's the kind of thing that I love to do. But you're right, when it comes to fractures as well, in this season, we unfortunately do see a lot of broken bones. And I just want to put that out there for anyone who's not aware. As doctors, Dr. Zelikoff and I, you know, you and I know a fracture and a break mean exactly the same thing, but a lot of patients don't. And so one of the most common things I see is a patient gets seen at an emergency room or an urgent care, and they say, oh, they told me I just had a fracture. They didn't tell me it was broken. And I just want to put it out there that those two words mean exactly the same thing. And so part of my job is explaining to people exactly what the injury is. And then I'll tell you that there are many different types of injuries that can occur. And you can have a fracture, and your friend can have a fracture, and it can be a very similar type of thing, and it could be treated two different ways. So one of my goals when I treat patients, this is, you know, significant for fracture care, but also in general, is I don't treat the x-ray. My goal isn't let's make this x-ray look perfect. Because a lot of times making the x-ray look perfect involves doing something you may not really need to do. And I think it's too easy to say, yes, let's just operate on everything. And it's more difficult to say, let's talk to the patient and find out what they do, what they want out of this, what their expectations are, and how can we best treat them. And I think there are a lot of fractures out there that do not need surgery. They can be treated very well in a cast or in a splint. There are a lot of hand injuries, for example, which don't need a cast or a splint. They actually just need motion. They need people to move. And one of the things I see is you get a patient with a finger fracture and they get splinted, or they keep a splint on for a couple of weeks. And I really have to get the idea of the splint is wrong sort of in their head, because the splint is not what you want. You want to be moving. And a lot of times I'll send patients to therapy. And it's really important to understand that there are major differences between different types of injuries. And I take each patient as they come in. You know, there are no two injuries that are the same, because they're not the same patient that comes in to see you. So you really have to have a talk with each patient. You really have to get to know them and find out, you know, everything you can about them to help treat them most properly. And whether that involves doing surgery or not, you know, I think that's a decision between the surgeon and the patient. So I really like to get my patients involved in their care.
I think it's also important to bring out that oftentimes the first place you get treated makes all the difference in the world. So because if you come in and you've been treated someplace and your wrist is stiff and painful because it wasn't treated properly at the beginning, oftentimes that significantly affects what your ultimate outcome is. So I would encourage people that if you have a fall, if you have an injury to the wrist or hand or elbow, and you're not sure what it is, if there's a break, if there's a fracture, which again, the same thing, or if you've been told that you have a fracture, please seek specialist attention. And, you know, again, Dr. Valdette Nikci is spectacular at this. And you can certainly reach him at Specialty Orthopedics in Harrison, New York. And the phone number over there is 914-686-0111. Or you can also reach us at on our website at specialtyorthony.com, and then try to get an appointment to see him. Because, again, early intervention makes all the difference in the world, particularly of the hand and wrist and elbow, so that you don't develop stiffness, which becomes really hard to go ahead and treat later on.
Right. And I would echo those thoughts, Steve. I think that's excellent. And we see a lot of patients who get these injuries, and they often occur after hours, on the weekends. And so the first place many people go to are like the emergency room or urgent care centers, who are fantastic. You know, they see the patient, they tell them the injury that they have. They generally will do a very good job of splinting them appropriately if it's like a fracture, for example. What I would encourage people is don't wait. You know, whoever you see, whatever you get told, don't wait to see a specialist. If you have an injury to your leg or your arm or your wrist, hand, whatever it is, go see one of us who are orthopedic surgeons and go see us as soon as possible. I wouldn't wait a week or two. When it comes to fractures, especially if you have a fracture that needs surgery, and this is especially true in the hand, the wrist, it's often time limited. You know, like you really want to get to these injuries as soon as possible, because over time the bone starts to heal, and then you run into the difficulty of fixing a fracture that's partially healed versus fixing a fracture that was acutely broken. And there is a big difference in terms of both the surgery that we do and the recovery process afterwards. And you're absolutely right. Patients will get very, very stiff quite early on if their fracture is not treated appropriately. So I would encourage anyone, if you have an injury, don't wait. Try and get an appointment. Obviously, at our practice, we work very diligently to get patients in to see us as soon as possible. Most patients don't have to wait more than a day or two to be seen, especially if you have an injury like that, especially in my practice. I mean, I don't want my patients waiting around. So it's very, very important that you see a specialist as soon as possible.
So, again, on the phone with Dr. Valdette Nikci of Specialty Orthopedics, head of hand surgery at Montefiore and Rochelle. So in the last couple of minutes, any suggestions for patients on how to stay safe at this time of the year with ice in terms of balance, wrist braces? I mean, anything that you recommend particularly to have them try to avoid an injury?
So I would say be patient. That's probably step number one. It's very common for people to, you know, let's say it's especially around the holidays, you know, you're running late for something or you really have to get somewhere quickly. Be patient. You know, when it snows, even when it's raining and it gets very cold at night, the thing you see most commonly is people slip. And, you know, I'll tell you what I tell my patients. No one ever comes into my office saying, "Oh, Dr. Nikji, today was a good day for me to break my wrist, so I thought I would do that." You know, it's all a matter of it was an accident because I was hurrying or I was rushing or I didn't see that there was a step there or my foot got tangled because I wasn't looking properly. You know, having the understanding that accidents happen, and they happen all the time, and you can't avoid everything, but being patient, not rushing to do things, especially when it's cold out, when there's freezing rain or when there's ice out, it can be very, very easy to sort of not even think that something bad is going to happen. And then all of a sudden you're slipping and flying through the air and who knows what's going to happen to you. So be very careful out there. Take your time, get to where you need to go safely. And you know, if anything, heaven forbid, does happen, then we're here for you and you can always come and see us and we'll take care of you.
So again, thanks so much, Dr. Valdette Nikji. We're really, really thrilled to have you on our show today. So once again, this is Dr. Steven Zelikoff on Bone Talk, and want to wish everybody a very, very happy holiday season and a happy and healthy new year to everybody. Please stay safe and look forward to speaking with you next year. Again, this is Dr. Steven Zelikoff on Bone Talk.